Columbus, the Fan. Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Three games now in the books for the Blue Jackets. They have a 1-2 record. The latest game on Monday night, they lost to the New Jersey Devils in the home opener at Nationwide Arena by the score of 3-2. And Jody, that game, I thought the Blue Jackets looked so good in Nashville last week and in Minnesota. And I thought the Monday game was just different. And one thing that wasn't different, unfortunately, is the power play wasn't able to get them in the lead or get them back into the game. The penalty kill, they give up a couple of power play goals. But I just thought like that one was different. And maybe it's because the New Jersey Devils are a fast team and they take away your time and space and all of that stuff. But, you know, it was disappointing to lose that game, I think. But then again, it's game three of 82. There's still 79 games left. When you watched that game on Monday, how did you feel it differed from the other two?
This is a team that likes to score off the rush and in transition. They were ready for New Jersey's game where they blow the zone, but there was a lot of self-inflicted plays. I thought, you know, the adaptation, they started great. Okay, they got some good chances on Jake Allen early. He left after two with cramps. I think Markstrom got hurt at the end of the game as well. I mean, that game, they had the chances to win, much like in Nashville. You know, they scored a lot of goals last year because they scored six or more in 16 games, right? Yep. It's the 2-1 games that they, you know, those low-scoring games that they have to find the grind game to me. And that's where, you know, you're quick coming out of your own end. But if you're going to puck pucks in the offensive zone, you have to be able to get them back. And that's a very well-coached, disciplined team, are the New Jersey Devils. And when I see Jesper Bratt, Jack Hughes, Dawson Mercer on the penalty kill. That's three forwards. And as soon as you look from afar, you think they're small and skilled. Their attention to details defensively is excellent. That's why they're on the penalty kill. And it's just impressive how that team has played. Now, it can be frustrating for the Blue Jackets because in the second period, it really shifted to the New Jersey Devils game. You know, they played the game well. They played defensive well. They committed. And then they closed it out in the end. So I think the biggest change that needs to happen for the Blue Jackets is when they have the puck, make the one or two plays to keep it, get through the neutral zone. If you have to give it up in the neutral zone, you have to get it back. You know, New Jersey did a really good job with their mobile D of getting back and getting support and getting out of the zone. That can be frustrating shift after shift. So for them now, there's a couple things. They need to score on early opportunities. We know that. 4-minute penalty in the first period at home in opening night. The cannon should have been fired. The roof should have been blown off the building, and Jersey should have been feeling like, oh boy, here we go. It's much like a late opportunity in a game, in a close game. That has to be taken care of. They have to find a way to score a goal in those power plays. Okay, they didn't. They had more power plays as the game went on. They didn't find a way to get that back. Just not enough pop last night. Or Monday night. I didn't see a lot of pop. You know, I thought Marchenko had some pop, but look, it was on breakaways, right? Mm-hmm. Everything else seems smothered, and they have to be comfortable playing a 5-man unit when it's tight and muddy and it's going to be defensive and sticks and you're not getting all the speed. And how many times did you see them go back and try to build speed and attack? And what was right there? If they got it through the neutral zone, they got it to the defenseman or the goalie played it, and then it was out. I didn't think their forecheck was what it needed to be. I thought Olivier's line had a couple moments where they kept it in there. But other than the first 12 minutes of that game on Monday, not enough sustained controlled pressure in the offensive zone. And that is going to be it's a second and third effort type of moment in a game. And if you watch Boone Jenner, he was getting frustrated because, you know, when he didn't have the puck, he was fighting to get it back. When he did have it, he'd make the play and the Devils are right there. So they need to find more confidence in playing as a 5-man unit in the offensive zone, finding the grinding game.
The passing was, I didn't think it was very crisp.
No.
All night long. Was that because of Jersey with sticks and passing lanes, or was some of that self-inflicted?
I think it's both. I think when you play in a game like that and you're on the bench after a frustrating shift, you can't wait to get out and do something, you know, get it going, get the fans into it. You know, you think about too much. But if you sit there and have a small focus where, all right, it's going to be one good pass or one good shot on net this shift, or it's going to be one good chip out of the zone, something small to think about. I'm going to receive the puck and then make the play. I think some was self-inflicted, passes too high, passes bouncing, close plays not connecting. I call those self-inflicted because, you know, there is a way to have composure and hand the puck off in the right way where, if I have the puck, I'm responsible not to put you in a bad position. And that means I know I can see the defense is right on you, so you're not an option. It's got to be get it in. So I just thought they were a little bit out of sync in some of those plays. But credit Jersey, they played quicker, harder defensively than I thought they would.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And
that might have surprised them.
And maybe that's a good lesson early in the season.
Yeah, I think the lesson is, you know, the urgency to score early is, especially early in the season. You know what I mean? Impressive for Jersey. They beat Tampa the game before in a game very similar. You know, and I looked at New Jersey and I thought, I don't know, they're going to be different this year. They're too small. I'm wrong. If they're going to continue that, win the one goal game by committing to defense like that, that's something the Blue Jackets have to do immediately. Immediately. It's not about the breakaways. It's not about the transition. It's got to be the that commitment to defense by all five guys on the ice to be tight. And then that's when you get rewarded, is when you can then create those chances offensively.
Well, so that was what happened on Monday. The Blue Jackets are back on the ice tomorrow night to take on the Colorado Avalanche. And then on Saturday, it's the first 25th anniversary celebration game of the year, and it is going to be presented by Toyota. Now, there are going to be special tributes to Blue Jackets alumni. The fans in attendance will receive an Upper Deck collectible card set that features current and former Blue Jackets. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock here at Nationwide Arena, and you can watch, listen, and purchase your tickets at BlueJackets.com. We're going to preview that for you coming up next, because the first ever draft pick of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Rostislav Klesla, is going to join the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, here on 97.1 The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Welcome to Talk
Juice is live on YouTube. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Or on demand whenever you want it.
Yeah, whenever. Bobby Carpenter's at your beck and call. And Tito's there too, you know, to clean the toilets. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies giving way to some sunshine on this Wednesday. Otherwise breezy and kind of cool. Temperatures mid to upper 60s. During the night, temperatures down to the mid 40s with clear skies and light winds. And then a Thursday afternoon, back to some sunshine. Temperatures back in the mid to upper 60s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation?
Good news.
It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan with Jody Shelley, and what a special guest we have for you today, because on Saturday night, it is the first 25th anniversary night of the season. The Blue Jackets will be celebrating with different 25th anniversary nights throughout the year, bringing in former coaches and players, and all kinds of things are happening this year in celebration of that 25th anniversary. And today, we are joined by the man that was the first draft pick of the Columbus Blue Jackets and played on the blue line here for quite a long time, and that is Rostislav Klesla, who is with us right now. Rusty, it is great to see you, my man. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Thanks for having me. Bob, Jody, good to see you after a long time.
Yeah, great to see you, Rusty.
When's the last time you were here?
Well, I think when I played for Phoenix back in the day before I retired from NHL. So maybe 2013, maybe 14. I'm not sure what year that was. I had this nice video and, you know... So that's quite a while.
Welcome home, Rusty.
Oh, thanks. 10 years? It's a long time.
Yeah. More than 10 years. If it was 13, that was 12 years, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how time flies? We get older. It seems like it was yesterday that something happened.
Is that when you retired?
Well, I played two more years in Czech.
Oh, you Czech did?
League. Yeah, so I call it retired from NHL, but I things happened back then that I still had something left, so I played in Czech.
Can you believe it's been 25 years since you were here with the Columbus Blue Jackets as that first draft pick?
The time flies, you know. It's 25 years since, you know, I see all these pictures of me being 18 drafted and stepping on the ice for the first time here. So it's been a long time, but, you know, I keep my mind young, so I just don't kind of like think of that. It's just been that long.
Stepping on the ice here, what do you remember? What's a real clear memory about maybe your first time being on the ice here in Columbus, Ohio?
Well, the whole journey was like from me being young, and the dream was to make it to the NHL, you know, from, you know, small town in Czech and doing all these things to keep the dream alive. And then had some luck, good coaches along the way, and then the juniors in U.S., then Canada, and then the draft. And, you know, then finally it happened, got drafted high, and the dream came through. But it was just, you know, start of the journey, you know. But there was some kind of a little satisfaction, you know, for all those years that I worked. And I was just looking forward to upcoming career. But, you know, it was a new team, lots of new stuff to do, new organization. So it was, I think, a little bit new for everybody, but I just didn't care, you know. I was just I just made a first step for my career. So I was really, like I said, satisfied that I made it, and it's finally happening, you know. That was the year 2000.
What about the building and the fans? Do you remember that?
I remember that. It was crazy. It was really good. It was loud, and the fans were really good, because the history of hockey in Ohio or in Columbus goes way back. So I was actually surprised how the fans understand hockey, you know, even throughout the years I played here. Obviously, the question was we should have do better, you know, the whole team's kind of, you know, looking good and kind of rebuild, do this again. So tough times. But the people understand hockey here. So it was, for me, I like playing here. It was a new team, but you could feel that it's just not like not like a team that doesn't know about hockey. They knew hockey very well.
You, that first year, that 2000-2001 season, you only played, what, 8 games here, I think, and then went back to junior. But still, right after that, you were into the National Hockey League and stayed here for a long time. So you're talking about that journey, and it was finally happening. It really happened pretty quickly for you, didn't it?
It did, yeah. That year, I remember I came from juniors, and I was ready. I was 2 years in juniors in Sioux City, Iowa, USHL. Then I was in OHL, Brampton Battalion at the time, and played, made a team, and I felt I'm ready for the whole season. You know, and now I was pissed that I was, someone told me, hey, oh, we're going to probably not going to have a good season. It's a new team. You're going to go back to juniors. And I was pissed because I knew the games I played well enough to stay on the team. But at the same time, I understood, why they doing that. But, and I had a good year, like back in juniors, we won the world junior, gold in Czech. So, I guess I developed pretty well that year. But at the same time, I knew, because everything was so new, there was no like real veterans that were like Lidstrom, Rafalski, and those guys. Everybody was kind of getting their spot. And the defense core wasn't just so set that everybody was making their spot, and whoever plays better plays. So I just remember that. But after 8 games, I just left and took it as it was, and tried to look forward to the next season. And ever since then, I thought pretty good. And like I said before, too bad that we couldn't find quickly that kind of recipe to win more than just what we did.
And it, it's funny. Nobody ever likes to get sent back, right? And no. no matter what. And but did you ever? You were just talking about how you knew that nobody had really established a spot. When you get back, did you worry at all that, okay, well, now those guys are trying to establish spots, and here I am again, going back to junior. Again, as you said, when you look back at it, everything was perfect for you, right? You win a gold medal, you have a great year, probably made you better to get into the NHL the very next year. But at that time, did you worry about that? Like, how am I going to get a spot if I'm not even there?
No, not really. I thought... Being drafted fourth overall, they kind of look at you and they give you the extra, cushion, I say, for it works like that for a long time, and always it has been like that. If the guy is not totally idiot, then he's gone. you always get like 2-3 years schooling. But at the same time, I thought, there was really like nobody, like I said, a team of back in those days, Colorado or Detroit or somebody like that, that you had only like one spot or half a spot to kind of work for. You could, I had on my mind that I have to work hard, I earned a spot, and with what I just said, being the high draft pick, you just kind of get pushed to those spots anyways. But you got to show. That you deserve it, you work hard, and that was my mindset to do that, and trying to be that top guy right from the beginning. Even back then, I was 19.
Rusty, being a high draft pick, is that a lot of pressure? What's that like to have that? Do you look back and think that that was a situation that was difficult to deal with, and how did you deal with that?
Well, I think it's probably different now what it was, what it was back in 2000, and from me coming from Czech, which is, like I said, there was no too much of media. There was no, social media. There was, you just could handle that pressure. It was just a newspaper and whatever, ESPN or something like that, you can watch, and they just, like I say, noticed Columbus Blue Jackets, but they had the bigger dogs to kind of deal with back then. And so it was kind of, I would say, just inside of organization, how we make this guy better, how we make the team better, what's the right scenarios and stuff like that. So that's kind of, you deal with that. And you want to prove that at the same time, you want to prove that they made the right choice. You want to be good. You want to be a good player. You want to be maybe a face of the organization, at least at the time. Be their leader on the defense. Learn from the old guys. Then, like I said, there was still really good players here. But they were a little bit older. You knew they're not going to be here forever. So they kind of school you in some way. And you feel it, but I'm sure the guys these days feel it a lot more.
Yeah. When you think of Columbus, Ohio, and the Columbus Blue Jackets, what comes to mind?
Like you said, it was a home for a long time, and I have to say I like the people here in Ohio, in Columbus area, because it was like I grew up in Czech. Which is, I would say, pretty easygoing, European state. And I found out it was a little bit similar here. So living-wise, we, found out, like, nice areas. People were nice. So that's why I liked it. I would, maybe even that's why I stayed here, and I didn't really actually fight for, like, too much for a better contract, or maybe I never tasted free agency. I always got an offer, say okay, because I just liked it here, even through, and that's the second part of the question, that I wanted to prove that we can make the team better, and play hard and play, there was a little bit too much changes, and it just never got right, I thought, as much as we would like as the players, as the whole organization. We went to playoffs one time. So the one time playoffs in whatever nine seasons I played is just not good. You know, so that when I think back, that kind of pisses me off, to be honest, that because I consider myself that my game elevates so much in playoffs, you know, and I didn't play it as much, and even from being young, you know, you just do whatever it takes to win in playoffs. So I was, and I am still now, kind of sad about that the playoffs didn't work as much or only one time in Columbus.
We're talking with Rostislav Klesla from the Blue Jackets past, Blue Jackets alumni, and now Rusty. You've been in town since Friday. Have you been recognized around Columbus since you've been here?
Well, not as much, you know. It's, you know, like, I wasn't a big of a star, I guess.
Oh, come on. But you had your poster everywhere in town.
Oh, yeah, but it's been 15 years, and, you know, I was always like a low-key guy. I was not on those things. A couple times, you know, and then at the game, it was a couple jerseys and a couple guys, yeah. You know, said something, and it's pretty good, but like I said, good memories, but I was never in the spotlight and in those kind of socials, even it wasn't that much back then like it is now. So let's put it this way. I'm happier that I'm not being recognized as much.
I love your passion because you were talking about how much you wanted to make this organization a successful place, and I do remember you when the game was on, you were locked in and you had a very confident, you were very confident in your ability. Where did that come from?
It's just, I guess, the nature of that. You have to be confident, and you got to believe in yourself if you want to be and play in top league in whatever sport. I think it's just really one of the top, one of the most important things for a professional, player in any sport. So, but I don't know. I think it just comes some from whatever your parents or whatever is, you know, coaches, or they kind of. I mean, you can learn that somehow, but I think it's just got to be somewhere in you. Inside of you, in your guts, that you got to be confident. And you know, like, some guys are more confident, some guys are less. Some guys need help with that a little bit, you know. And then some players need to calm down, or like they're way overconfident, you know.
that's cocky.
That's, yeah.
You've never crossed that line.
No. I was always like kind of towards, you know, like being, you know, hard playing and believing in yourself. And of course, there were like times that, you know, especially when you get older and you're like, oh, man, like, you know, this was just not enough, you know, like I should have been better. I could have played better, you know, and that was, I think, with confidence. So at the same time, you still have to work on that because the team, the league and the tempo of the oppositions, it changes. You know, you got to always like work on yourself. Whatever worked 5 years ago, it probably is not going to work as good right now. So, you know, and I think that changes, you know, and I think the coaching staff and the whole people around the teams now recognize that and they help the players. But at the same time, to that question is like, I started at 2000, and we didn't need that much of coaching, I would say. We would be holding accountable each other in the room. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to the older guys in the room, Dineen, Olderline, Pusher, you know, they played in the 90s, some of them in the 80s. And they talked to me about what was happening back then. You know, the coaches were just, what, 2-3 coaches?
Yeah.
And they were just pretty much handling themselves. So that just totally changed. And now these days, in Czech, I coached 4 years professional hockey in Czech, so I noticed how the men act, you know, and I could notice the difference, you know. And when I talk to people, you know, it's similar in NHL, you know, that the guys are just, it's just different, you know, like.
The old school.
Yeah, you know, everybody says, let's say, half of the team couldn't play this league anymore because it's so fast, everybody's so skilled. I was like, okay, but at the same time, these half of the team, of the players of each team couldn't play 20 years ago.
Right.
And I was not, like, let's say, a tough guy like, let's say, you were, but you had to be aware of what's going on in the ice, you know, and the rules were just not as at all like it is now, you know. So it's always a point of view of how the game has changed. But you, the question is always you have to be confident and believe in yourself. You know, if you're a skill guy, you got to use your skill and you know, score goals, and you got to believe in yourself. Same as when we played.
Tonight we're talking with the first ever draft pick of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Rostislav Klesla, former defenseman, sitting down with us here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Your morning knowing anything is possible. Because if these guys are hosting a radio show, imagine the possibilities. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
Your home for football, food, and fun. The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Blue Jackets with a special night coming up on Saturday to honor the 25th anniversary of the team. Alumni returning, first ever head coach Dave King, goaltender Ron Tugnutt, forward Kevin Dineen, and defenseman Rostislav Klesla. Rusty is here with us right now on the Inside Edge.
Now, I want to ask you, because when I last talked to you, because I talked to you through alumni stuff, you left here and you had a hotel, the Hotel Rusty. You were a businessman. Yeah, I know you would have been confident in that. And great to hear you were coaching. But are you still a businessman back in Czech?
Bowler just asked me. That was his favorite question. Hey, do you still have your hotel?
You were so proud of that hotel. Was it a family hotel or something?
Yeah, it was called Rusty's Hotel. But no, it was just... so much, you know, kind of work, and it's just out of your, you know, like...
the comfort zone,
yeah,
maybe?
The comfort zone. You got to deal with people that are always, like, want something, you know, always are not, like... and I had to train in the summer. I didn't want to, like, deal with that, you know, and so then I sold it and pretty much was happy that I don't have to worry about that, you know. But at the same time, it's a nice... nice job, but you got to be there every day. Watch. It's like being a manager, GM. You have to be there. You have to be, you know, whatever the business is. So, but I just did, I sold that, and I do some, like, other realtor stuff, and I coach for 4 years after I retired, and it was fun. I liked it. But then I just didn't want to do it full time because I had two boys, two little boys. So it's just so much time that takes, you know, on you and on the family that I just didn't want to go that way full time. You know, so now I'm just kind of doing my stuff and kind of being around the family and watching what's gonna, you know, be. But I'm not jumping into everything like head first, thinking over. I'm a kind of like a thinking man, I guess. Maybe too much sometimes, but
so your life is good, Rusty.
Yeah, I'm not really doing the wrong steps. I think I'm doing right steps, and family first is for me, and watching the boys grow up, and when they grow up, then, you know, open the eyes a little bit wider and see what's out there.
Wait, and you've got the family here with you, right?
Right.
So have you gone around town and showed your kids any spots or anything, or how many spots are not there anymore, or how many spots are different from when you were last here?
Yeah, well, I maybe the second day we drove by two houses when where I lived. Then my wife knows the second house, So I showed them that. It was like in the Black Lake area, and it just expanded, and it's nice. I really, you know, like it. It's like I say, for me, it's like a kind of low-key, good living area for you know, this center of Columbus and the Ohio. So it has changed, man, and we're going more downtown tomorrow to be here for the rest of our trip. So can't wait to explore the downtown and how that has changed. So everybody told me that it's been, you know, so much construction and going on. But yeah, we're staying in Easton now, which is, I think, perfect for the kids and, you know, do a little shopping, which is always good and always was in U.S. yeah, we're enjoying ourselves and the weather has been great. That helps. So we're really enjoying ourselves here.
Even when you come to Nationwide Arena, the area right around here is so different than when you first came, even when you left.
Oh, yeah. It is. I had to really, like, put the navigation first, you know, just make sure, like, I get to the loading dock, you know, the garage for the game last night. No, but it's good to see. It's good to see. And, again, it's, I think, important that the team plays good, plays well. Like last season was close, right? It the end was really spectacular, I would say, the finish of the Blue Jackets. So too bad they didn't make it, but I hope this year will be you know, that the point will be on our side to make it, you know.
So you keep an eye on it. I love that.
Yeah, I do. Because I do like a TV, like maybe like you, in check for NHL games sometimes.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So how do you do that? You do it because it's a time change.
Yeah, they have Saturdays. There's always a couple afternoon games. So I maybe once a month, you know, I don't want to, because it's in Prague. For me, it's just where, again, I would have to kind of live there and be close. And but I don't mind, you know, you go for Prague. It's a nice city. So I made a little trip. And do like a color or like a studio.
Oh, good.
For Czech TV and NHL, hockey.
Are you going to do the Olympics?
I'm not sure if they have it. I would have to ask. But again, it's just not like a full time. It's just kind of like keeping, you know, myself.
You don't want to commit.
Because you know how it is. If you commit, then you're just like
you're busy,
and I always was the way. Like if I commit to something, then I want to do 100%.
Yeah,
you know, if it's 100% for somebody, then you know it's the next question. But I like details, you know, and I think even details make the big difference, right? Yeah, in any sport, you know. So whatever I do, I know it's timely. Would be really busy. So that's why I'm not committing as much. But I keep an eye on pretty much everything. And then whatever time shows, then I will maybe, you know, take, if it's the right situation, then I'll just commit.
So you will commit.
He's not committing to committing.
Do you stay in touch with any other? I know you're probably still good friends with David Baborny.
Oh, yeah. I saw him a couple of times, and I don't think it's a good idea seeing him too many more times.
But anybody else you stay in touch with?
Yaroslav Balashchik, in the team where my best friend is. He's from the same city, Radim Bichanek.
Yeah.
He's Bichi is there. Who else? I saw on those teams. We do like, you know, alumni games sometimes.
Oh, do you?
In Czech, like, so I see like the ex NHL Czech players a few times in some kind of like exhibition games and those. But Vibes is one of them. I actually was in Prague with Vibes' son a month ago. That was great.
Michael.
Yeah. So we went for a couple beers or a dinner. And it was good to see him because I remember like he was just like a small kid, you know. He was like 2-3 years old, and now you go with the guy for a beer and nice guy, really nice guy, good. and happy for that.
Are you looking forward to Saturday night to getting together with a couple of former teammates and your former coach Dave King?
Of course, yeah. That's why I'm here, and I think it's great that the Blue Jackets do something like that, and they recognize the history and the alumni and whatever, how it all happened. So I think, and maybe not just doing it one time, but maybe spread it out. I think it's a good idea to bring a few players every month for that. So I'm looking forward to that. Went to the game. It was, I think, good game. The arena looks good. The game, the team looks good. But it's just the beginning of the season, so we'll see. But I think it's really good that the Blue Jackets do something like that to recognize how it all happened and the guys that were here the first season.
Hey, you watch out while you're here, because the alumni director I hear is a really tough guy. He's a tough guy to deal with.
Yeah, okay. I was actually asking Todd if there's some game, maybe we could maybe skate or something.
Thursday. You know? There's a skate Thursday. Tomorrow. Today's tomorrow.
Okay. Well, if I get extra equipment, maybe
we'll have you out there.
Yeah.
The cannon wasn't here when we started.
I was here.
You were here at the end, and not the first few years.
Yeah.
It didn't come till Ken Hitchcock came.
Yeah.
Then it came.
Yeah. Okay.
Did that get you last night? The cannon.
Oh man. I knew the cannon is here, but I think they changed the pressure or the hardness of the shot, man. So I remember my younger son is like, "Oh, what is that?" And we're all like, that was hard, man.
Yeah.
I remember that maybe because we were on the ice and we were just further, but now we're in the stands kind of, I don't know, 50 meters from that. And I just wonder, like, how about the people, like, just under it, man? It's a huge shot, man.
Hey, man, the NHL today, everything is bigger, faster, louder, stronger. That's how it works.
Yeah. But it's cool, you know, and I think they told me that every game someone will light the cannon, you know, before the game. It's pretty cool.
You'll light it. On Saturday.
Kinger, I don't know if I can say that.
Oh, that's great.
Kinger.
You'll be there.
Kinger. I know. I'd rather go on the ice. Leave that stuff to Kinger.
Well, Rusty, it is great to see you. It's great to have you back in the building. Great to have you back in Columbus.
It's awesome.
Glad you're enjoying it all with your family and then with some of your former teammates and your coach this weekend. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's great fun. I'm really looking forward to Saturday and every other of these celebration nights throughout the year.
Yeah, me too, man. We have, and one thing we get from this, Rusty, we can feel your pride, your proudness, your pride of being a Blue Jackets alumni and being part of the history here. So thank you for everything you brought here, and it's great to see you back here as a Blue Jacket.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good talking to you, and I wish the Blue Jackets best of luck in the season.
That is former Blue Jackets defenseman Rusty Kleslah. He is here to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Blue Jackets coming up on Saturday night when the Tampa Bay Lightning is here. We'll come back and wrap up this week's edition of the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank next here on 97.1 The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Babs, imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Sports used to be about calling up your favorite host and saying how stupid they are. Good news. We still do that. The Fan Call-In Show.
Hello.
Sponsored by ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino.
Sunday mornings at 8 on The Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Well, if you haven't already gotten your Blue Jackets season ticket plan, you should, because you get to choose the matchups that you want to see. The packs start at just 11 games, and you can save up to 40%. Also, there are flexible payment options and bonus tickets for your family and for your friends. Learn more by going to BlueJackets.com/ticket plans. Well, it was great to hear from Rusty and the old memories and what he's doing now. And it's good to see that he's in such a good place, and it's great to have him back in Columbus, isn't it?
He is one of the special people that this organization has had through here. And that man hasn't changed. We had such a great group of character people, and Rusty is that he's got a great smile, he's got a wonderful heart, and I love his appreciation for being a Blue Jacket. Awesome to catch up with him, and I love that the organization is having him and Kevin Dineen and Dave King back here for Saturday night.
Don't forget Tugger.
And Ronnie Tugnut for president. We had great times, and you know what? We were just a bunch of young boys having fun, and Rusty's great to see him back. He's still got the same sense of humor, and boy, that was fun to catch up with him.
It was. Absolutely. I enjoyed every second of that. All right, quick preview here. Coming up, Colorado Avalanche tomorrow night. The Avalanche, no surprise, they're rolling, and it's much of the usual suspects with them.
Well, yeah, you know, they trade Rantanen last year, and we're on the outside, and they're thinking, what's going to happen now? Traded him to Carolina. And the guy they picked up in Marty Natchez, I saw Marty there last year. It was like he was on a treadmill going 9,000 miles an hour, and he was going 7. You know, and he was trying to keep up, but he couldn't. Nate MacKinnon is a competitor, and he just wants to do everything has to be done right in practice, off the ice, on the ice. He wants to win. He's a different animal, and Marty Natchez was getting used to that. Well, guess what? He's used to it. This guy comes out of the gate, he's flying. He brings speed to that unit with Nathan MacKinnon. Speed with MacKinnon. And those guys are collecting points. This is a team with one of the best defensemen and one of the greatest matchups you'll see this year in Makar and Werenski. 1 and 2 in Norris voting last year for the best defenseman in the league. Makar got the trophy, but Zach Werenski will be up for this one. We're going to watch that dynamic. You know, it's interesting with Makar. He gets most of his shifts with that line. So think about that. If Werenski had most of his shifts with Marchenko and Monahan and Voronkov, you know, the points would come a little easier, I think. But there's times when, at home especially, Werenski's out there with the checking line trying to shut things down. So it's going to be a fun matchup to watch. I would expect a high-flying game. And it's a big task when you have this team coming in. Colorado rockered a little bit last year. It seems like they found their footing. Their goaltending is good. And their defense unit is so good. So look out. This will be a high-flying game. I'm looking forward to how the Blue Jackets play this one.
Well, last year they retooled their entire roster throughout the season. So this year
two new goalies.
They've got that roster intact. So also tomorrow, before we wrap this up, Cam Atkinson has signed a one-day contract to retire as a Blue Jacket. He'll be honored at tomorrow night's game. It is only fitting for a guy that is going to live right here in Columbus.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. They've only honored one other guy, and that's he has his jersey hanging in the rafters, and Rick Nash and Cam Atkinson. I mean, we remember a lot of those great smiles and big moments at Nationwide Arena. He's a huge member of our community. He has a business here. He's part of the youth hockey. His family loves it here. He's from the East Coast in Connecticut. He went to school out east, but he is choosing to live in Columbus, Ohio, and going to retire a proud Blue Jacket. Finished in Tampa last year, and boy, it's going to be nice to have him back as part of our Blue Jackets alumni, and it'll be fun to see him tomorrow night. I'd love to see him take warm-up or something. I don't know if they have any plans, but, you know, warm-up's just fun anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's music. It's fun. It's the fans. But I don't know. After Fleury, I wouldn't think of that until I saw Fleury play that preseason period or half period.
So, he screwed it up for a lot of guys.
Yeah, now it's in the back of everyone's head. Why don't we try this? Let's try that. So good to sign a contract. I wonder if Cam negotiated that one.
I don't know.
I hope he gets a good deal.
You know what? No, he can. And his negotiation skills, yeah, he probably did. He did. All right, Jody. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bob.
It. All right. So that is tomorrow night. Cam Atkinson will be honored here. And also the Blue Jackets take on the Avalanche. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts on TV on FanDuel with Jody at 6:30 and on the Blue Jackets Radio Network with me at 6:30 tomorrow night. Thanks to Rusty Klesla for being with us here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, and thanks to you for being there as well.
This is Bob McElligott for Jody Shelley. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Those who qualify.